Roger is not starting his routine right now, and we're all thankful.
I'm bumping and grinding over here. Oh,
more bad images.
Aren't you glad this is radio, folks?
Yes.
Somehow, except us.
Yeah, you've got a big screen.
I think, you know, Michael over there is going to have to be carted on the way home as he buys a six-pack to forget the show.
Using his bridge card.
But you know what? Bob's been waiting on the line here during the news break, and I want to make sure that Bob has a chance to speak out here. So, Bob, welcome to the show, and we're glad you joined us today.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Roger. I'm surprised, really, by how exercised people are getting about the free speech rights of this Duff guy. I think we have to think about the fact that there is no First Amendment right for him to say what he wants about... I guess you have to look at it this way. The First Amendment only stops government from restricting free speech. It doesn't stop A&E from suspending him for saying something that they perceive to be damaging to their network's reputation. I'll bet he's got in his contract something that says he will not publicly say or do things that will in any way defame the corporation. And it's not a First Amendment right. It's not a free speech issue. It's not even a freedom of religion issue. The First Amendment's freedom of religion provision is the government will not stop you from exercising your right of religion. It's simply... an employee has to know not to say things that are so stupid that it's going to damage the reputation of his employer. I mean, it's that simple. It's just it's a workplace issue. It's not something that needs millions and millions of words on blogs. Although it's gotten that in the last 2 days, it's been the number one story on all sorts of programs, just like yours. But network and local. And it seems silly to me. Because what it does is it causes more people to believe that the Constitution gives them the right to say whatever they want. And you can say whatever you want. It has consequences. In this case, the consequence it has is that he got suspended. And no one should be crying with such bitter tears about it as if, you know, we've lost our republic because the Duff guy got in trouble for saying something stupid.
I think you make a good point, and he's certainly getting a lot more attention now. Michael just told me when I can tape a rerun of the show so I can see it, and if it hadn't been for all this hoopla, I never would have known Duck Dynasty was on the air.
I've never duck hunted. I have friends who duck hunt, and I imagine they use the duck... I think the Duck Commander is what it's called, the duck call. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see the show now. I'm interested in seeing what this guy is all about.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it'll turn out to be good. You know, in the end, A&E is a from part of a publicly traded corporation. They'll do what's in their shareholders' best financial interest. And if it's in their shareholders' best financial interest to bring him back and even to give him a raise if they need to, that's what they'll do.
Well, I think that's what you're seeing here is A&E is not looking at it and going, well, we object to the language. It's just like, oh, man, this is going to get us some attention, some negative attention, and, that's going to mean less money. So, I mean, they're all about the dollar there.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough decision for them because, you know, sometimes it's really easy to make principled decisions because you come off looking real good. But if you make a principled decision and it ends up costing your shareholders a ton of money, then you've got problems. You've got other problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Bob,
listen, I love the new lineup there. I really enjoy it, and I'll be listening.
All right.
Thanks. That's good to hear.
Appreciate that. Of course, he's talking about me.
Yeah, of course. Yes, sir, Mr. Boss. He was certainly talking only about you,
of
Jeremy.
Of course, yes. Yeah. You had nothing to do with it over there, Sprinkles, or whatever your name is.
Right. Tico.
Oh, sorry.
Tico Winton. You know, I'm going for name recognition here, Jeremy. I've got to keep getting the... Tico Winton in.
Okay. All right. I apologize. I was gotta, mistaken on that.
He's got to get it out over the air.
Between Royce and Kingston in Millwood.
All right. question now that we figured that out.
I just wanted to know where Tico was from.
All right, then. Okay. Well, now we're going to shift gears from wherever it was we just went.
Off the deep end again.
Yeah, yeah. We've done that before.
So, anyway, Roger, I know you know probably a lot more about this than I do, the oil spill in the river and that sort of thing.
Well,
and,
this goes back to the Enbridge fiasco where we dumped all sorts of toxic goo into the Kalamazoo River. And we were told all along that nothing got beyond Morrow Lake. That's the dam near Galesburg. And there were reports when the oil was fresh in the river that you could smell oil downstream from that dam. But that was poo-pooed, and nobody paid attention to it. The DNR, the EPA, and, of course, Enbridge all insisted that no oil got beyond Morrow Dam. And now there's apparently some evidence that tar balls are in fact rolling down the river, so to speak. And Chris Wamhoff has been involved in the river cleanup and just making the river a usable natural feature, and so thought it would be fun to talk with him and get the latest. And as a result, hi, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Where does the evidence of these tar balls come from?
Well, we're finding them in a few spots along the river. There's a couple things that are coming with these formations. There has been, we found some as far as Allegan so far, and most significant study has been ones that were in the impacted zone. And there's two things that are really problematic about these formations we're finding. One is that you can find them literally in a matter of seconds if you look in the Kalamazoo River, even in Allegan County, where, as you mentioned, it said that none of this was ever supposed to reach. The other alarming thing that we're finding with these formations is they seem to have chemical deposits. Tests show at least three forms of corexit that were found in these, which, of course, is a dispersant that we were also told was not used and can be toxic as well.
That's the same dispersant that millions of gallons were sprayed on the Gulf of Mexico, correct?
The very controversial, yes.
Yeah, okay. Correct,
yes. Okay. and that was it was something here in Michigan that everybody has said we did not use. And what is really disturbing about these formations is with having this corexit, if the reports and the data that they're basing saying the river is safe on don't include these, what does that change with the dredging operation and the cleanup that they're trying to do, and what does that mean for the community? Because these balls are like there's iron ore rocks and there's other formations that can look kind of crazy in the river, but they're all formations that are like rocks. These formations are different. If you drop these formations, they turn into a sand color, and they fall apart. They're not consistent. They're very different than anything I've ever seen, certainly. And I've grown up on the river my whole life.
Chris, Jeremy Lawrence here. I wanted to ask, you presented a tar ball in a jar to the city commissioners. What kind of response did you get?
I've been to a few city commissions, and I've got to say that's about the quietest I've ever heard that room in my entire life. there was a lot of just really just stares and quiet, and it was just the quietest it's ever been.
Chris, when you look at these tar balls, Can you, by testing, determine that it is tar sands oil that's the basis? Can it be linked to this particular oil leak, or is it a judgment call that this is oil from that spill? Can it be tested to, can you do, quote, DNA testing, sort of, and confirm that this is tar sands oil?
Well, thankfully, well beyond myself, we have a bunch of people that have been working on these and testing these. An individual, Craig Ritter, he had been finding these in early summer and kind of started bringing them to everyone's attention. And we've had Dr. Rick Yatt. She's a world-renowned toxicologist and understands. She was in the Alaskan Valdez. She's been working with us. There's another fellow, Bob Naiman, I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, a chemist, and a collective of students and also radiologist Dr. James Timmons, who have done CT scans and checked this other data. Now, as far as how the DNA tests work necessarily, I'm just not scientifically minded yeah. enough to know that part. But they certainly seem to feel that it is from this river. And certainly, if you're looking at Corexit, which is almost primarily used as an oil dispersant, I don't see a rational explanation how else the Corexit would have got in there.
Right.
And I would rely on them for answering that particular question, because I just don't know the science to even answer it. Oh, you start talking about polyaromatic hydrocarbons and words that I've never heard before until this. So I would go to them on that specific, but
sure.
certainly it points to the oil spill.
Chris, Jeremy asked about what the city commission reaction was. Perhaps more importantly, what's the reaction of EPA since they've taken over this incident, and Enbridge, the responsible party? What's their reaction to the finding of these tar balls?
Well, I think the EPA's response, to my knowledge, has been quiet. I haven't heard much of a significant response from the EPA. I know some of the media folks that have been calling the Enbridge. My understanding is that Enbridge has been changing their statements. They've changed their statements twice since this came out. So to me, that's almost as telling as the scientific data, but I would encourage people to make their own determination there.
Can you talk to us about the change that Enbridge is making in their statements as their knowledge of this evolves?
This is another spot where I would encourage some of the other folks that are really testing the data. For me, that second mouth, I know that they're changing their statements, but I don't know what those statements were changed to.
Yeah. That could have a negative connotation, and I don't know that the fact that they're adapting as they learn more is necessarily a bad thing. That's why I was trying to get my arms around exactly how they're changing their statements.
You're very, very right to kind of look at it that way, so I apologize.
No. You can't know everything about this, and you can at least talk to us about this without using terms like polyaromatic whatever. And you can speak to it in single-syllable words that Jeremy and I are capable of understanding.
Well, I'm right there with you, man. Some of the tech talk, just like you have to ask over and over again. Like it's a what?
Yeah, yeah. I'd never heard the word polyaromatic whatever before either. So, where do we go from here? What's the groups that are in, you're a part of this, that are interested in the Kalamazoo River? Where do we go now that we've discovered these tar balls?
Well, the next thing we want to see is the reach We've made it as far as Allegan, Michigan. We're going to be trying to track all the way to Lake Michigan tomorrow and see, first of all, if we find these formations. And then second of all, what formations we do find, we're going to take in and do the same data testing. There were CT scans and a host of tests, and we want to see how the findings from these formations further downstream match up with the ones that were in the quote-unquote impacted zone.
Sure.
And so that's the first one. The second is, in every way, shape, and form, this is the first oil spill of its kind. And the reality of this oil spill is it's a tar sand oil spill. Nothing has ever happened like this before. And the next thing we're trying to urge, and what I would boisterously urge to the communities along the river, to the EPA, the MDEQ, is that we need a realistic health impact study on the people along the river. Tar sands is a very toxic oil, and there's data in Canada that shows a lot of the First Nations along the path of the pipelines up there are experiencing 30% increases in cancer and things like rare diseases of bile duct cancer. If we have concerns like that, especially with the people along the well water, we need to have a realistic scientific study to show what we have, what we're dealing with. Because the truth is, we've never been here before with a spill like this. We have no idea what to expect.
Well, and Enbridge has 60-year-old pipelines running across the Straits of Mackinac, and there would be a concern. And something we need to consider with the Keystone XL pipeline.
Yes, very, very much.
Thanks for taking time to chat with us this afternoon, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah, back at you. Thanks for having me on. Keep rocking it, guys. Thank you.
You bet. Chris Wamhoff. And we've learned a little about tar balls in the Kalamazoo River, potentially.
See, now, tar balls, for me, I would have thought that would have been something illegal in baseball, but that's just me.
I think spitballs are legal, aren't they?
No, I don't believe spitballs are any longer legal.
Oh, see?
Just like you can't put sandpaper on the ball.
Okay.
There you go.
Or tar balls in the river.
All right.
Right.
More of the show coming up. Keep it here. And your weather forecast brought to you by Westlake Drug, our family serving yours for over 35 years. Glad you're with the show today. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, Roger Taylor as well. And joining us in studio right now, WKZO News Director John McNeil. John, I understand you just got off the phone with the Enbridge spokesperson as well.
Yeah, we broke the tarball story this morning on the air, and I wanted to follow up and get the other side, of course. And I called Jason Mancham. He's a spokesman for Enbridge. They're categorically denying that they're tarballs or that they used dispersants on the Kalamazoo River, which is a very, very hot topic right now. The whole idea of using dispersants would be a violation of several things. So right now they're denying that they are tar balls. They're saying they're naturally occurring balls that appear in the river, apparently. He's sending me an article that will explain all this from a Canadian scientist.
Okay.
Did he infer that testing could prove their innocence, that testing of the oil would confirm that it's not the tar sands oil that came out of their pipeline?
Apparently, yes. They're insisting that these things occur naturally in rivers and that it has nothing to do with the oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out over time, I'm sure. It would seem to me, and what really piqued my interest about getting the other side on the story, is that the EPA has been incredibly diligent in putting the screws to Enbridge to make sure that they comply and clean up the river. And if we had tar balls rolling down the river, the EPA would go ballistic, it would seem to me. That has been their pattern throughout this spill. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, we haven't heard from the EPA that they have an issue – is a suggestion to me that this is not what we think, or this is not what the allegation suggests this may be.
So the EPA has been largely quiet.
That's my next phone call. Yeah. And just as soon as I get out of here, that's where I'm going to track down somebody at Region 5 in Chicago and find out what their position is on this.
Okay. All right. As soon as we hear anything from them, we will certainly let you know. Thanks, John, for stopping into the studio. We appreciate that. As this continues to develop and that kind of thing, we want to make sure that we bring both sides of the issue on this so that everybody gets their say on it.
Yeah.
So.
No, we got to get to the bottom of it. The river is an important natural feature in mm-hmm. our area, mm-hmm. and we're hoping to make it the centerpiece of redeveloping the east side of downtown Kalamazoo.
And nobody wants a mess.
Yeah.
As you look at this, I mean, you think about those stories out of Cleveland years ago with the river on fire and things like that. And certainly we're not at that point here, but you don't want to end up with that kind of reputation.
Well, and we're the guardian of 20% of the world's fresh water in the Great Lakes. And as the world sees increasing water shortages, taking care of our natural resources seems prudent.
Would seem so.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we did promise that we're going to give away movie tickets. We have not forgotten.
I did.
You did, of course. And
I'm old.
And, of course, we were going to blame Michael for that. So, you know.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Michael hadn't reminded me.
I was actually going to make a note of that. I was actually going to remind you, actually, after we went to this break.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But you beat me to it.
Uh-huh. That's the story. Yeah. Sure.
I was going to remind you right after this.
So I'll tell you what. We're still going to end up giving those away. You just got to keep it right here, right now, though. CBS News coming up. The show continues. The show where you get to hear myself, Jeremy Lawrence. You get to hear... I still want to call you Sprinkles, but I know that's not your stripper name.
Kiko so. Winton.
There you go. Okay, and his actual name is Roger Taylor, just in case you didn't know. And, of course, we got Michael over there to blame for everything. So, mm-hmm. And now we want to blame him for the dumb, stupid trivia question that he's come up with.
Yes.
As a way to give away these tickets, which we have tickets to American Hustle. It's a brand new movie. It's coming out tomorrow, actually. It's actually premiered limited release last week.
Okay.
And some of the critics are already singing its praises at this point, saying it's a terrific movie.
And you can go see it at Crossroads Cinema on Us, mm-hmm. The only... what's the big screen?
With the IMAX.
IMAX.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, this is a movie that's got Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence, Robert De Niro, some good all-star names there. A lot of Oscar power, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd like to think it's going to be a good movie.
You'd think.
Yeah.
And maybe we should ask the winner to call us back and give us a review of said movie.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, pair of tickets. You can go see it this weekend. It's going to be raining anyway, so you might as well do something inside.
Stay inside.
But American Hustle, that's the movie. And the dumb, stupid trivia question is...
What is the oldest Major League Baseball stadium?
The oldest... Okay, now we're talking in use?
Yes, in use.
Okay. Because there might be something older out there that they're not using.
Yeah.
But the oldest in use... Major League Baseball Stadium. All right. So,
judging by the number of lines that lit up instantly, mm-hmm. somebody thinks they know mm-hmm. what that oldest.
No, I think, and I could probably narrow it down, but sadly, I can't win. So
true.
You know.
Yeah.
I'd be giving tickets to myself, and that just would not be good. So
I have been to a ball game there.
You have?
Yes.
You have. So I've always wanted to. And I've not had that opportunity.
So. Even though
I've been to a few ballparks, so
I've even though I'm not a big baseball fan, There are some monuments that are a part of Americana that you've you need to visit.
Sure.
I went to Candlestick Park in San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
As close as I've been is I was in the air over it.
Ah, okay.
So I have seen that, but I've not actually been there. And actually, I think, isn't that one going to kind of go away here pretty soon? I think, the Niners are moving out?
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, I think the Giants got their own park or something like
and
that.
And it's not called Candlestick Park anymore anyway.
But, you know, we all know it's the stick. We know what it is. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, that one is soon to be out of the rotation, as it were.
I wonder, are they going to redevelop that area?
I would assume so. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's...
It's a big chunk of land right on the bay.
Yeah, that they would want to develop that into some sort of, I don't know, retail or something like that. We'll have to look that up. But okay.
We have a winner.
We apparently have a winner.
Yes. First caller guessed it correctly. It is Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
That opened in 1912.
All right.
And the winner was Theron Cocalis.
Okay. And we're going to expect a trip report from Karen?
Theron. And he said he wanted to say hi, and he's been listening for a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been speaking for a long time.
Yes. And thank him for listening. Now we know we have a listener.
Yes, I thanked him.
That's great. You know, we at least we got one.
Yeah.
Okay, so good. So, and Theron's going to be enjoying that movie, and I'll give you a little hint. Just a little hint.
Little hint?
We're going to have to really blow out some tickets tomorrow, because we got tickets to some great stuff.
Really?
Also opening this weekend.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that opens first
really
for Oscar consideration. Mm-hmm. They have to open this year. And second, the next 2 weeks, big time for the movie industry.
Well, and for dollar considerations, too, because they want to make money off of these things.
You think?
I would think so. I would think so. Something tells me.
It's not just art.
So, but here's the tickets that if we can remember and actually beat ourselves up enough to be able to do this. We're going to be giving away tomorrow tickets to see Inside Llewellyn Davis, or Llewyn Davis. I'm not sure which one it is. I'm going to have to blame Jim for typing this up. But
Michael.
Michael, that's right. Okay, we're blaming him
what?
Today. All right.
I wasn't
he should
listening
have anticipated your need.
Yes, of course. All right, but anyway, that movie, we got some tickets there. This one is interesting. Saving Mr. Banks. You seen the previews for this one?
Yeah.
You got Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney, which I think, looking at him now at this particular age, it's like the perfect match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great choice to play that. But you've got that where this is the one that involves the making of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how all that's coming together. But I'd be interested in seeing that one.
What's the Mr. Banks connection to Walt Disney?
I don't know.
I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I don't even have to ask him anymore. All I have to do is look, and he says.
You just look, he goes, okay.
I'm going to look that up.
I'll track it down for you, sure.
I just had a listener give me an interesting fact. He said that the Fenway Park and Tiger Stadium both opened on the same day the Titanic sunk.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an omen.
Yes.
Of course, Tiger Stadium's no longer with us.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But there you go. Okay. Now, with all that, of course, we've got more show to give you, but we're going to give it to you in just a little bit. The show continues. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, Roger Taylor as well, and Michael, the guy we blame for everything, he's here as well. So I don't know if we've blamed him for hemlines yet, but I'm working on that one. I don't know where they are this year, but I think he stole them. So,
yeah. wherever they are, it's his fault.
Just a brief correction of myself there, because I want to make sure that I'm on top of things. The movie is Inside Llewyn Davis, and this is apparently the latest Coen Brothers movie. So.
And you mentioned John Goodman is mm-hmm. in it. There is somebody I really enjoy.
John Goodman? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't mm-hmm. think of a movie he's been in that I didn't like his mm-hmm. part in the movie.
So have you seen The Babe?
Yes.
Yes, I just watched that the other night. I really enjoyed that.
And, of course, my favorite of all time, The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm. But,
See, now I was going to ask you about, what was it, King Ralph?
Yeah.
Wasn't he in that one?
Yeah.
Which was enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's a guilty pleasure, I have to admit, but that was a fun one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's the latest Coen Brothers movie, so we got tickets for that tomorrow, along with Saving Mr. Banks, which I think a lot of us are excited for as well. But now, before we continue ahead, Roger, there's some news we want to share.
Well, breaking news from CNN, a rescue operation is underway in London, part of the Apollo Theater, which is... a major theater there. Part of the ceiling fell. Number of casualties. This is just breaking. Don't know the number of casualties. Paramedics are carrying stretchers from the building. And the play that was going on is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. And... but the a portion of the ceiling fell. It was a sellout performance, 775 people in the theater at the time. And it's right on Trafalgar Square.
Okay.
This is like a theater ceiling falling on Broadway.
This is a big deal, particularly with having almost just shy of 800 people in there. I'm sure that's something we'll be hearing about as things develop.
Yeah, I'm certain CBS News at the top of the hour will be covering this.
They will have the latest on that.
No doubt.
Without a doubt. Now, we talked a little earlier in the program about Duck Dynasty and mm-hmm. The comments made by Phil Robertson, and there's been a lot of different views on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten a few callers to call in and share, and certainly if you'd like to do that right now, you still have time to do that, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. But I definitely wanted to get back to it because this is something a lot of people are talking about. And, does he have the right to say what he said? Does he have the right to share views and participate in the debate? There are some that would say, no, we need to silence him. And, we've seen that. I mean, remember Paula Deen earlier in the year where – she said what she did in court proceedings,
yeah,
and that caused a fallout. I mean, she's still not back on Food Network, which quite frankly surprises me. I figured she'd probably be back on by now.
Well, and especially in her case, because it was really stuff that was done years ago that came up. This was not a fresh, current comment she made. It was surfacing comments that were made years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that particular case was dismissed as well, which is the other part of the rub of that. But I don't know. We're not necessarily here to dredge up old news, as it were, today.
Right, right.
But in this case, and we had a caller call in and say something about how, there are consequences to the things you say.
Mm-hmm.
And there is there's not necessarily protection from that. And, that's a good point, too, in the middle of all this.
Yeah. Yeah. And technically, the one person who called is that the government doesn't have the right to limit your speech.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But A&E, can they limit the speech on their channel?
If you think about it, these cable channels are limiting speech on their channel every day. I mean, Food Network doesn't talk about politics.
Right.
Fox News doesn't have cooking shows.
Right.
HGTV, they don't do sports. And
they do parades.
No, they do. They do. And
TLC,
heaven knows what they do.
But, yeah. History Channel does a lot of stuff that's not history.
No, that's true. That's true. And they've kind of branched out and
I go
and done
for my UFO fix on History Channel.
Well, it's, you know, like Sci-Fi Channel. Do they actually play movies?
Yeah.
You know, it depends if you happen to see Sharknado that was played earlier this year, which, by the way, is, I will guiltily admit, on my Netflix queue because I want to see what all the talk was. I mean, this thing was so bad, it was good.
But, Sharknado.
Sharknado.
I expect to see, you know, like Mystery Science 3000, where there's figures in the front making fun of the movie.
Well, I think if you want to see that when we do watch that, it'll be happening at our house.
You know,
we'll
there
be
you
doing
go.
That pretty quickly. But Chris is calling in. We want Chris to be able to share some comments. So, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, I have to agree with that caller that said, yeah, I mean, Phil has the right to say whatever he wants and, you know, agree with them, don't agree with them. A&E does not have the obligation to maintain him outside of, I mean, if he violated the contract, then, you know, they can suspend him.
Yeah.
I think it's an unfortunate decision for A&E because this is going to end up with, you know, the number one cable show in history going somewhere else. You know, this is going to
end up. Well, it's the number one cable network show.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think the thing you got to notice here, though, is A&E said he's suspended. They didn't say fired.
Oh, well,
you know, so I think there's a financial decision in there. Let's take him off because it's, you know, they think it's the right thing to do. But at the same time, they're going, oh, we're going to get some fallout if we fire him.
Oh, so they got fallout anyhow. I mean, from what I could tell, you know, just looking at my news, you know, as I'm working during the day, it looked like they were getting so many calls that, you know, they're going to have to walk it back, but I don't know if they can walk it back. There was a row earlier this year where they tried to curtail that the end of the show. They do a family prayer around the table and they mentioned Jesus and God a couple times and Annie actually approached them and said, hey, can you tone that down? And the son, I'm not familiar with the characters as well, but he said, if we can't do our prayer, we're not doing the show.
And I think, as I recall, I read the GQ article, and that's one thing Phil Robertson brought up, is that's part of the contract, is they're straight up about what their faith is, and they don't want it edited.
Yeah.
Yep. Have you seen the show, Chris?
I watched one episode.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't watch a lot of reality TV, and it was funny. I admit, and you know the characters are endearing, but you know it's not my thing. I can see it from that outside perspective of, you know, he went somewhere that they were going to ask him tough questions, and he wasn't going to back down from answering a tough question. He wasn't going to answer it. And that's all they needed. They threw a couple logs in the fire, and that's where it went. But I just really think it's a bad, you know, all in all, not a good decision by A&E to suspend their number one show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see how it shakes out here in the next few days, I'm sure. Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
All right, and we want to move on here to, looks like Mark is next on the line. Mark, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi. Yeah, I kind of wanted to. I was agreeing with the last caller a little bit about just curious what the conversation was that led up to it. You know, the what was the question that came up? How the subject came up?
Yeah. What was the context?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he just didn't all of a sudden say it out of the blue, and he was probably coerced into a conversation of a subject like that.
Well, and you don't even know it if you read the article either, because, you know, it's not necessarily a transcript of their conversation. It's more of the conversation from the perspective of the writer if you read this. And I actually looked it up online. I think GQ has it on their website. You can't tell from that how the interview went either.
Yeah.
So it's a very good point.
I'm sure it was edited for the magazine, and
Yeah.
Without a doubt, as I would expect that in any interview situation.
But you bring up a good point that to really understand the comment, you've got to see it in context. How did that conversation, what initiated that conversation? That's a good point, Mark.
Yeah. All right.
Mark. Well, I don't think A&E really had the, should have, banned him from that.
Well, I'm sure they're going to pay for it if that show doesn't end up on the air. You know, when the new season starts, they're going to have some problems. They're going to have to answer for that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to John. He's next on the line. John, welcome.
Why, hello. I'm not really seeing how this is an issue of free speech or anything like that. This is a private company, A&E.
Mm-hmm.
That decides, you know what, we don't want this kind of person or somebody with these views on our channel, so we're not going to carry him on the channel. It's kind of Howard Stern would come to mind. Some stations, maybe they didn't want to, back in the day when he was on regular radio, you know, we don't want the Howard Stern show on our station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing at all how this nobody said he couldn't say those comments. It's just the consequences. Well, A&E's going to suspend you from, you know, from the show. I'm not really seeing what the issue is at all.
You
know, and I think the other thing to note here too is that A&E is, you know, while they've suspended this, I mean, you've already got some networks, I'm sure, lining up over this one, going, if you drop them, we'll pick them up. So, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be some competition over that.
Money talks.
It does indeed. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. All right. So let's see if we got a little bit of time. I think we do have a little bit of time for James. James, you with us?
I'm here.
Okay. Go right ahead with your thoughts.
Well, I guess mine comes down to a different one. You know, first off, Phil Robertson, most people don't know this, but he's a preacher. He preaches all the time and, you know, he was suspended indefinitely, as A&E puts it, which kind of puts a whole other twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes down to a right of not only free speech, but what pastors can say and can't say.
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor myself, we're constantly under attack for what we say. And one thing about it, and he said it, this is what the Bible says. The Bible is offensive. And when people get offended by the Bible, they want to change it.
Well, you know, the bottom line in this country is you don't necessarily have a right not to be offended. You're going to hear something that bothers you at some point in your life.
Oh, yeah. If you're a Republican, Democrats are going to offend you. If you're a Democrat, Republicans are going to offend you. And if you're an independent, you might just get offended all the time.
It could be. Well, James, thanks for bringing that up. We do really have to run, but I appreciate your phone call.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. So, you know, I think it really comes down to it. It's just a matter of people getting a little offended over this thing. Maybe there are both sides to this, though. I mean, he has a right to be suspended at the same time.
But I think one of the callers made the point that it comes down to A&E's right to control their product.
Absolutely. And it is their product.
Yeah.
Going to do it for the show today. I've got a big one planned for tomorrow. Hope that you'll be with us.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.